$250 an hour, right, or whatever. Whereas a doc, you know, it's not that same feel with doctors, but.
All right. Can we do this show instead of the last one?
Yes.
Hey, this is John. That was Trish talking about
getting into trouble.
That was Trish talking about the show you're not listening to.
She was great, and Leslie asked.
I'm still curious.
This is Home From Here. We are with.
And it was an earthquake. I was right.
Yes. We are with Trish Burton, who's co-hosting today, and doing a good job. She has like a notebook. And you all know Leslie Wayne, who's been on the show about 8 million times and will be on 8 million more. How you doing?
Hi, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning. Two quick pieces of business. I'm doing Lifetime Cafe in Chappaqua, April 18th at noon. If you want to see the place where that stuff happens and meet those people, there's like a dozen amazing people. So if you want to come do that, that would be good. And then we're doing the Lifted Project. You're coming to that, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're doing the. We have to wear lanyards now. I got to get you a lanyard because you're sitting up front. I did talk people out of armbands though. Yesterday they wanted everybody to wear armbands to identify them
I said it was going to ruin our outfits.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that's April 21st at. If you want to see the rehearsal, you got to be there at 12. If you want to see the actual recording, you got to be there 12:30.
We're dancing, right?
You're dancing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I should probably warn you, there's a few people who have asked if they could dance with you.
Perfect.
So,
I love it.
You will not be... The last time I tried to... So this is kind of a makeup for... The whole idea was just so Leslie could dance because... I owe you a dance because the last time we were in the smaller studios...
Yes.
And I had like a full band in there. And we couldn't stand up, let alone...
I know, and they were so right? good. Here, it was like a slow torture not being able to stand up and dance. They were so good.
So you live a crazy life. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I'm kind of... since I've seen you...
You travel.
Yeah.
I was traveling quite a bit. Lately, I've been a little mellow. I've started my book.
Good.
Which is challenging.
Books are a bitch.
I used to be a writer. Like, I used to write a lot 20 years ago before I had my son. So I thought, oh, pen to paper, this will be easy.
Right.
And it's really challenging.
What's your process?
I'm actually in a class at SUNY New Paltz.
Oh, okay.
With all these really brilliant people.
Good.
They're all so smart and so interesting. And we have to write, you know, like only like 1,000 words and then share it in the class, everybody. But it is heavy. Like, nobody's writing anything funny. People are crying. And so this coming Wednesday, I'm like, okay, my next piece has to be more on the light side.
Right.
A little more funny. So my process is I'm going in I'm not getting every detail about my life, but I'm going in order, you know, and we'll see where it goes.
Are you disciplined about when you write? Are you like, I write from 12 to 2 every day?
No. I have to really be in a certain headspace.
Space to get it, yeah.
You know, and once I get going, I'm like in the groove. And then I should keep going.
Right.
But I'm like, it wears me out. Mm-hmm. Because
it's hard work.
Well, and things that you just kind of forgot about come flooding back. And I'm like, you know, it's just like... It's things you don't ever talk about anymore.
Right.
So it's, you know, going down memory lane and it's heavy.
Are there any embarrassing stories in the book?
There's going to be.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah,
good,
there's going to be. We won't share those. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Do you, you know The Artist Way?
That sounds familiar.
So The Artist Way is a book. It's written by a woman whose last name is Cameron or first name is Cameron. I can't remember. And it's a book that teaches you how to be creative, and one of the things she teaches you is this thing called morning pages, which I do all the time. But here's why you want to do it. So it's 300 pages first thing when you get up. You can do it with coffee, but not after coffee. It's first thing when you get up, and it can be anything. You can write the word watermelon 450 times, but you got to handle it. But here's what it does. it switches your brain from receiving all day to getting more comfortable with output, so that you've, because you know, 99% of the day your brain is taking in information, managing it, and then coping with whatever you just got, right?
Yes.
And you're not really creating anything. What this does is it sets your gears every morning that I'm output today. And so it makes it easier then to write, because your brain's already sweaty and warmed up, so it's good to go.
Yes. I did used to write like that. And
oh, okay.
Disciplined. So I have to slowly get back in the head.
Yeah.
And I get distracted because of chemo. Mm-hmm.
Chemo.
It just throws me completely off for 10 days.
And the last one was, you said, was hard.
My last three have been.
Last three hell. Have been hard. What do you, like, so when, just nausea the whole time, or just weak, or?
Well, what's happening now is I'm having terrible vertigo.
Mm. Ooh,
that's the worst.
Like, and I mean, like.
So when we just had this earthquake.
I didn't even feel it.
There you go.
I'm like, that's nothing.
fuck 4.5. You want to shake, rattle, and roll.
Exactly.
Come here. Yep.
Like, I mean, I'm like crawling on my kitchen floor, trying to make my coffee or my tea, whatever I'm drinking. I'm breaking glasses. I mean, hence my.
Yeah, I saw that. You cut your thumb.
Because I'm having vertigo and neuropathy.
Oh, God.
And do not use a sharp knife, a brand new sharp knife.
Yeah. When you have vertigo, only plastic. And plastic.
I saw that. And you know what I was going to tell you about? When our daughter was learning to cook, there's this metal knife that goes through food but doesn't cut you. That blue knife. Remember that?
Were they plastic but serrated. So
yeah, but it works.
Cut. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So,
no.
Oh.
When we get home, I'll send you the company.
Okay.
But you can't hurt yourself.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
what
I need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm slowly moving to plastic, but
can I ask why is the chemo changing, or are you just,
no,
is it a reaction?
Was,
or?
The last one was number 84.
Unbelievable.
Which is kind of outrageous.
You are so badass.
Well, I actually wrote my doctor a letter, and I'm like, I just want to make sure that you realize this is number 84. Like, am I supposed to be like on number 84? And they all just kind of laugh. You know, but I mean, I have more chemo than anybody ever at Sloan.
Oh my God.
So really?
Ever.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it's just the buildup now of so much chemo. And the torture part is, so I have chemo, immunotherapy. I'm starting to get allergic reaction to immunotherapy. Mm-hmm. So I get hives. So yeah. I'm like scratching everywhere. And the immunotherapy is probably what has kept me here. I mean, there's so many breakthroughs with immunotherapy. But the worst part is, I don't know if you ever had this, is Nelesta. So that's a drug they give you. In my case, they give it self-injects 27 hours after I have chemo. And it stimulates your bone marrow to make white blood cells, because
that sounds good.
Otherwise, you won't have any white blood cells because
that sounds bad,
right?
Yeah, the
right.
chemo takes
well, the
it chemo's away.
Killing it all.
So that is a miracle drug. It really is, and has kept me able to get chemo. The problem is it stimulates your bone marrow so much that it damages your bones, and it's so painful. It's the kind I can't even explain the pain. It's like somebody's pulling your legs in every direction. But everywhere you have a bone, you feel it. So,
oh my God.
Your teeth, your eyebrows.
Oh my God.
Everywhere. And that's also what's causing my vertigo. Because
it's
getting in
ear.
The little inner ear bones and messing up the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to stop that drug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is there there's no other way to stimulate the white blood cells?
Wow. No, but I mean, I've had that done also 84 times. And I'm like, you know what? It's just not worth the pain.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather get the chemo, be extra careful.
Right.
You know,
right.
wear a mask
right.
for 2 weeks.
Right.
Versus go through that bump.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I have to get my team on board.
Right, right.
You know, for all that. So,
and you're up here, so there's an offshoot of Sloan.
Sloan.
I did Mount Sinai.
No,
but
I wish
Sloan is
I really
here.
Wish Sloan had
So where do you go?
At headquarters here. I go to New York City.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. They have
not
New
even
York
White
City.
Plains? You can't go to White Plains?
They have one in Westchester.
Yeah.
So sometimes I get to go there.
Mm-hmm.
My oncologist prefers I don't. I prefer I do.
Oh, interesting.
Why do they
I mean,
care where you go?
Because
He likes to see me every time.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But we kind of, he's brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant oncologist. He's a brilliant researcher. But we butt heads a little bit because he's always late, like 5 hours late, like super late.
Oof.
And I just look at this room of 100 really terminal cancer patients. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you keep all these people waiting? He takes on too many patients. So when I go to Westchester, it's boom, boom, boom. They're like
right
super mm-hmm. organized. But, you know, I have to see my doctor, too, because he's the one that has to approve me going off this medication.
Right.
So that's my next challenge because I see him on the 6th. I have my scan next week. Then I see him on the 16th. And I'm kind of hoping that they're going to give me a break.
Right. Well, can't you just refuse it?
You can. The problem with once you start refusing, then you might lose your oncologist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm not ready for hospice. You know what I mean? Like,
not anywhere near ready for hospice.
I'm still here rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's,
oh, okay.
I don't want to lose my oncologist, but
right.
I'm also to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to drug myself so much just so I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially vertigo. I mean, it's
the vertigo. I told friends of mine, I go, the day I'm on my deathbed, if I tell you I have vertigo, like, you got to help me.
Yeah.
Like, figure it out because I do not want to be spinning like that. It is it's just
yeah.
It's awful.
I danced because I have ear, you know, I have ringing tinnitus and some hearing loss that I have to get checked out from, I think, my chemo and radiation. And I was dancing in my classroom with my kids and I just tweaked the wrong way. I turned my head the wrong way and I must have like thrown the crystals out in my ear. And it started that spinning and I was like, I think I went home and I said, I'm dizzy. It lasted, you know, I was very lucky a couple hours, but it is the worst.
It's
feeling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're nauseous. It's just like you can't function.
Yeah, you're seasick. So I was taking Claritin to help with like allergy type stuff. I was taking Dramamine every day, and I'm like not a pill popper. Like, I'm just one of those people. It takes a lot for me to take a Tylenol, especially with my type of cancer. Everything that goes in, it's very hard for my liver to process because I have tumors in my liver. So I'm like super careful. But I'll tell you a quick trick if you don't mind.
No, please.
Because I have a neurologist team. And so I was on a meeting with them 2 days ago and I was telling them how the maneuvers that doctors typically do, there's maneuvers they do to even the crystals out because all it is they get stuck together and they're supposed to be free floating. So if you lay perpendicular, I'm telling everybody out there because vertigo is the worst. So if you ever get it, try this. You lay perpendicular on your bed and you really pretty violently swing your head back, pick it up, swing it back, pick
like
it up.
Like slam the back of your head into your mattress.
Like off the
off the edge of it.
Off the edge of your bed.
Oh, okay.
And then so do that 10 times, then do it again with your head to the right.
Ah. Oh,
then do it again with your head to the left. And if you have a lot of vertigo issues, they said every morning and every night.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I'm
good. And it works?
I'm good today.
All right.
Wow.
The earthquake didn't shake me.
Does your oncologist, how much value do they put on quality of life as opposed to just duration of life?
So, it's such a good question. I think it's a hard and fine balance for them. My oncologist, even though I've had 84 chemos, he is all about quality of life.
Okay.
So when I like get into it with him, which I did a year ago, because I threw in the towel, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm just done. I can't do it anymore. And he was so shocked because he's like, but look at you. Like,
yeah,
you do stuff. And I go, no, like, I'm done. Like, seriously, I'm like, I can't. I'm done. And he goes, okay. And he was really shocked. Mm-hmm. He goes, okay, well, I know how you are, and you like to do things, and you like to travel, and we always agreed, because you have to have those conversations, that for you, it was about quality, not quantity.
Right.
So he's supportive. So back then, so he moved my chemo, which is unheard of, to every 3 weeks.
Mm.
So I'm the only one I even know with my type of cancer that only gets chemo every 3 weeks.
Right.
And honestly, I can't handle more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of ready to have the same conversation with him. Like, can I just have like a 3 month break?
Is that an option?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. It depends on my scan.
Yeah. Right. What kind of scan are you getting?
So they always do CAT scans.
CAT scans. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. CAT scans and MRIs. And then they're very careful how much radiation they give you because I get so many scans.
Right.
I get a scan every 8 weeks.
Okay.
And my last two scans weren't too hot.
Okay.
But the great thing is the radiologist didn't think they were too hot. When I was reading them, I was a little panicky. But then when my oncologist read them, he's like,
oh, wow.
You're doing amazing. You're doing great.
Oh.
And that with my type of cancer, I mean, I'm blowing everyone away.
Wow.
The people I mentor, I mean, like 13 people have died in the last 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it is a brutal cancer. And, you know, and last time I saw my oncologist, he said, you know, you need to start preparing yourself. And I'm like, for what?
That's the right answer, by the way. That's the right answer.
And he goes, well, I think you might be a little naive. I go, I am not naive at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I burst out crying.
Yeah.
But like,
what choice, right?
Yeah, by choice. Like, you know, when I like think about it, anyway.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I told him, because he didn't think it was a good idea that I'm mentoring so much. And I said, oh, yes, it is. Because I'm totally helping people.
Right.
Of course.
And I'm like making a huge difference in some people, a huge difference just in their last 2 weeks of life.
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, I was a volunteer medic for years. So I saw some bad, bad shit. And my fellow medics or the policemen, everybody would go, Leslie, like, you shouldn't be doing this. You have a young child at home. Like, it's going to like mess you up psychologically. Like, you really shouldn't be doing this. And I could do it, but you have to put things in compartments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I learned to do that when I was a medic, like, you know, on the job, adrenaline, you get down to business, you deal with it, and you go home and you make dinner and you carefully put things in their compartments.
Right.
And only go there when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I have struggled with that a lot. Like, the idea of that sentence, you need to prepare yourself and you're being naive. I have rebelled against that sentence my whole life. I would rather go down dancing like a fool.
Yes.
Then and lose 3 days.
Yeah.
But go down dancing like a fool.
Yeah.
To me, three days of joy is worth more than 3 years of meh.
Yes.
And so I kind of agree with you. I'm like, first off, you think about it anyway. So it's not, you know, like, I'm in the hospital. I know what's going on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So if I can squeeze 8 fucking hours of joy out of this, then why the fuck do I need to sit down and do what, you know, whatever preparing yourself is?
Right.
You know, I mean, to me, that almost feels like you're handling this so much better than everybody else that they're worried that you're in denial or something.
I thought it was funny.
It's almost an aggressive thing to say. To say, like, you know, hey, you need to start preparing yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck you. No. I don't want to see it coming. I want to live until, like you said, I don't.
I go, I'm not in denial, but I'm not thinking about this every minute of the day. I'm not.
Right.
Because I'm forced to think about
and
it.
And what does prepare yourself mean? Get less happy?
Right.
What does that even mean?
I go, I'm prepared. Like, I have my will.
Yeah. I did the paperwork. What does prepare myself mean?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, why not do everything that you want to do and can do?
Right.
Yeah. You know? I go, it's can't, and I'm on disability now, which is so not me.
Right.
Like, not my personality at all. So that's like a whole crazy new.
What, do you object to it or?
It's not that I object to it. I kind of didn't have a choice, but right. It's a difficult system.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's a difficult system for people that need it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's been interesting. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, today I feel good, so.
So good. Mm-hmm. So today I get a win.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah. And you know, you do fun stuff.
But you know what's so funny? Like, you, like, you're in a particular situation, but you're not. We're all in that situation. We all have X number of days, and you have to philosophically pick how you're going to spend them. Because we're all going where you're going.
Yep.
I'm going there too. Trish is going there too. So now you got to sit down and say, okay. And this, I kind of like, I thought it in the back of my mind for my whole life, until I met you and never really crystallized. I'm like, well, wait a second. We're all terminal. Right? We're all terminal. So, yeah. But Leslie's no different than me. And I love the idea of saying, look, we're all going to have the same day someday.
Yep.
So, you know, do I spend my time concentrating on that day and, you know, wrapping my head around it? Or do I jump out of a fucking airplane and win that day? And I'm with you. You jump out of the fucking airplane.
It's so funny, though, that you say it like that, because I was just talking to a fellow, a friend that she's in remission right now of ovarian cancer, which will probably get her eventually. Mm. And she goes, because I said that. She goes, I hate when people say that. So a lot of cancer patients hate when you describe it like that, because they're like, yeah, but I didn't have a choice. I'm dying of cancer.
We're all dying.
And I feel sick. Like, I don't feel good. Right. You're not sick. Right. You're not dying of cancer. Yeah, you're going to die someday, but you might have 20 years, 30 years. I have 1 year if I'm lucky. I agree with you, but a lot of cancer patients, and I want to hear your opinion, will like kind of get upset if you say, well, we're all terminal. People get upset.
Yeah. Or the expectation that you should be, you know, finding meaning in your cancer journey. Like, I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Like, I still struggle with it, because I'm like, it sucks. Like, it sucks. And, you know, you have your moments of the, you know, I don't say why me anybody anymore. I say why anybody, because nobody, you know, should go through this. But, you know, there's the expectation of there's just too many expectations. And then when you don't feel well, I'm just trying to, like, walk to the bathroom today.
Exactly.
Like, that is my goal. And, you know, whereas the other part is like, you have a bucket list, right? So you know you, John, know you're going to die someday. So you want to live life and live. But when you're living life and you don't feel well, or you are on a 3-week chemo regimen where you are miserable anticipating and gearing up to it and then going through it and then feeling like shit after it. I mean, by the time I'm assuming by the time you feel better, you're looking, you know, you're gearing up to have it again. So it's like a very small window where you're probably feeling good and, you know, doing all of these. I mean, I think you're amazing. I don't know how you do what you do, because it wasn't like that way for me. But, you know, every cancer is different and every treatment. But it's definitely.
But
I wasn't the rose colored half full glass for a long time.
But even like when you're, you know, like, right, Leslie's remarkable, and Leslie can get out of chemo and jump out of an airplane in Guatemala or wherever the fuck you go. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. But, you know, not everybody has to do that, but you can laugh at a sitcom for half an hour.
Yes, yes.
You can. The idea that I just have to sit here and accept death and then just basically wait at a bus stop till it comes. And I hate that message to somebody, because that, I mean, you're a very strong person. To a weaker person, you know, somebody say, wait, am I some kind of sort of idiot because I want to be happy? If there's an hour I can be happy, I would rather do that than sit and just watch the clock until I can't watch the clock.
I see in my mentoring, because I'll try to rally people to, like, I know you feel sick. you know, we know like a minute. But I do think it's important to find something small, like pet your dog. If you can walk your dog, your cat, your cook your favorite meal, whatever it is. And I get in a slump, you know, my chemo week. And it's funny, I never used to watch comedy. And now it's like anytime I can find any comedy,
get out of your head.
That's what I watch.
Right.
And you always laugh.
Right.
You know, you do. You always laugh. So I encourage people, like, just find anything. I mean, there was this one man. I was mentoring him. His wife is dying of cancer. And he's like, you know, we don't do anything. And I don't know what to do. I'm like, dude, go seriously. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? You have to go pack the suitcase right now. Mm-hmm. And go do it, because he's healthy and can drive. Go do it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he did. And he did. Mm-hmm. And they were super happy. I'm like, because you can't sit around every day waiting to feel better, waiting for reports. You know, scan anxiety mm-hmm. is always a big one for people.
I just have to say, on air, because
this is the first time I'm meeting your lovely wife. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You look so beautiful.
Thank you, so do you.
And I'm so happy you're out the other end.
Oh, like, thank you.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And I kind of want to hear about that.
Yeah, we're, you know.
This is what happens when I got two co-hosts in the same room. I just got boxed out of my own show.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. It was a joke I had to sit in
there. No, but I'm just curious.
No, please.
Like, because you're like out the other end, but people forget, just because like you're out the other end of cancer doesn't mean, and I've learned that through mentoring, that it's not scary as hell.
Right.
That it's going to come, the fear it'll come back.
For sure,
or,
yeah.
Oh my God, if you're ever going to get like that again, or you lived the cancer life and you were so sick for however much time to turn it around and like get back to like real world.
Right.
People don't understand how difficult
right,
that is.
Right. And I think, and myself included, before going through what I went through is, you know, that there are physical, you know, residual, for lack of a better word, things that I have to deal with. Right. So I think people see it, people that haven't been through it, see it as very like black and white, like you get sick, you get diagnosed, you have treatment, you feel like shit, and, you know, hopefully you come out, you know, the other side. So I was talking to somebody and people are, you know, and I always say to people, like, there's no right or wrong with talking to somebody about cancer. Like you can't say, oh, am I saying the right thing, the wrong thing, and da da da. But, you know, like being a cancer patient now, I kind of am on the other side and I'm like, oh, well, that was an interesting conversation. Like I never judge it, but I'm always like curious right. about it. So I was talking to somebody the other day and he was like, I think maybe my situation, because it's, you know, we have all of these amazing things that are happening and, you know, I am strong and people see me in the videos and I'm, you know, stronger than I was before. But, you know, so this person was like, how are you? And so I would say something and I would say, well, I have to do my jaw stretching exercises because I have scar tissue in my mouth. So, and he was like, but you're good. And I'd be like, yeah, well, I have to do my lymphatic, you know, my lymphatic draining machine, but you're good. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, sometimes I'm not good.
Yeah.
And it was like, and he wasn't hearing it. And I was playing a game with it. And I got to the end of the conversation and I was like, well, you know what? You know what really sucks? I can't chew gum anymore. And he was kind of like, what? And I was
that
like,
does suck.
I can't chew gum anymore. Like, I loved to chew gum. It annoyed the heck out of John. And it burns my mouth. And I can't chew gum anymore. And it was like, he looked at me like, okay, conversation over. But, you know, there, you don't, you know, cancer changes, you know, changes your, I don't know, I'm not talking physically, I'm metaphorically, you know, like, changes your DNA, it changes your family's DNA. It changes how you know, interpret and perceive it. And it physically changes, you know, like my mouth will never be the same. Like, yes, I survived. I went through, you know, hell while it was there. You know, every cancer journey is different, but my mouth will never be the same. I will never get it back. And I think that that's something that people
that haven't gone through cancer, they think, oh, well, you're good. Like the effects, the long-term effects of chemo and radiation, mm-hmm. I think are not really discussed or talked about.
Right.
They're the neuropathy, the hearing loss, the, you know, yeah. like people think, okay, you're sick from chemo, you maybe lose your hair. You know, I assumed everybody, you know, you have your hair. I lost part of my hair. You know, you lose your hair and then hopefully you get to the other side. And it's so much bigger than that.
Yeah, so much bigger. And it's interesting you say that about hair because people always judge. They're like, hey, well, you must be fine because you have your hair. And I'm like, well, the drugs I have, you don't lose hair. The drugs I'm on, you don't lose your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the drugs I'm on, you also don't get skinny. Like everybody with my type of cancer is put on 30 pounds.
Right.
Like, so it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's different. In the very beginning, I was on a drug and lost my hair. But I could only be on that drug for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting how people, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I think there are so many more people walking around being on chemo that we have no idea. You know, I was in my radiation waiting room and there was a man there and, you know, he had his hair and we were, you know, you talk about what you're going through and everything. And he says, oh, I take a chemo pill. At that point, I had to stop working. And he goes, oh, I take a chemo pill and I go to work every day. And I was like, how is this like years ago that, you know, I didn't even know that existed, that was even an option. And I think there's so many people walking around in different, you know, chemo experiences. I mean, we have a family member whose friend is just, you know, on chemo for the rest of her life, basically, you know, to kind of treat
maintenance chemo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they're coming a long way. And unfortunately, cancer is exploding. Mm-hmm. All types of cancer. My particular type of cancer, they're saying, is going to be the number one killer by 2050 in the United States, even though it's considered the rarest right now. They're saying people that have been diagnosed with pancreatic, stomach, liver, you know, basically that anything to do with digestion cancers. It was actually my type of cancer misdiagnosed, like it had already spread.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're starting to get, you know, they're starting to diagnose better, but it's a very hard cancer to see, to find. And usually by the time people are diagnosed, they have very little time.
Unbelievable.
Hence why I lose so many people I'm mentoring.
Right.
Because they just don't. So I'm definitely blessed to still be hanging out with you.
And when you mentor, is it just within your type of?
Nope.
Or see,
I'll mentor any type of cancer. Okay. I get a lot with my type because I'm so familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But due to mentoring, I've become so familiar with numerous types of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have a handful of friends with cancer and it's just like, what is going on? Like we were all healthy and ate really well and positive people and boom.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And I'm sure that was the same.
That's the other thing is, I mean, I'm not like extreme, but I thought I was like, it's just, there's no escaping it is the reality of it. Like you can, and then it's like going back to the fun and the joy, like, okay, am I going to eat like nuts and berries and grass, you know, thinking I'm not going to get cancer. And I'm like, the circle is so small. You talk to anybody, oh, my uncle, my aunt, my brother, you know, whoever. So then it's like, you know, part of me is like, well, you know, post-cancer, of course, you try to be healthier and fix your diet and everything like that. And then you're like, well, why not just eat chocolate all day? Like, does it really matter?
Yeah. The other thing I love you're doing is mentoring caregivers, like the husband that you talk to. Because
I would like to do more of that.
It is amazing how little resource there is for caregivers. And so, please do more of that.
Yes.
Don't ignore your doctor and just do more of that because,
right.
Because we were doing an interview and with a oncological nurse who's, and she was saying that she thinks that actually the caregiver suffers probably more, because you know you have to stand there and watch it, and you have to stand on it, and that part of it is super scary too, man. Because
it's traumatizing.
It is, yeah. I'm not a fucking nurse. I don't know, you know, right. This pill at this time. I had index cards out all over our kitchen island, and I would put the pill on the index card, and I'd say this, and then they'd all be, you know, and then every day I would just make sure at the end of the day that we'd hit all the index cards, but there's no coaching for that,
right?
And you know, obviously it should take second place to coaching for patients, but there should be a resource.
I think it's just as important. I kind of need to figure out where to find those people, because I know they're out there.
And you're sitting next to one.
I know it's very it's a traumatizing experience. I'm not married, so like nobody really had to deal with it regarding me.
Right.
I mean, my family, but they're in Colorado.
Right.
But if you're married or have kids at home, it's a traumatizing experience.
Well, and because he was taking care of me and everything else. He was taking care of everything that I used to do, and our daughter, and. So who is your care team? Who's you have friends, or like
I have
friends. are you drive yourself? How do you get to chemo?
No, I'm very lucky. I have friends that rotate that
right.
take me to chemo. I could get myself there, but
right.
when those drugs hit my system at this point,
it's over.
Yeah. It's over. So they have to have to drive me home. So yeah, I have people take me there, bring me back, and you know, for the most part, I plan. So, like, I make sure I always have frozen soup in my freezer. Mm-hmm. I simplify everything.
Yeah.
Friends rotate and send me a text in the morning.
Perfect.
And, you know, they don't say, I like it, because they don't go, like, poor you, are you okay?
Right.
Are you sick? They go, hey.
Right.
Hey, yeah.
What's going on? Good morning. Like a normal text would
be. Right, right, right.
But it's so funny, because people, like, you know, think about, you know, what do you do if you don't have family and living with you?
It's difficult.
It is difficult, but friends are so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sorry. The single most important person, I think, in Trish's recovery was not a doctor and not a nurse, but Julie, a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, seems
and
like
so,
that.
Yeah, and so you sit there and you go, you know, maybe I'm missing an asset if I don't live with somebody or something. I don't know. I mean, it's hard managing the day-to-day logistics, but the impact that friends can have.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah, I mean, for you guys, from everything I see, she was like your little angel.
Yeah. No,
you know?
She was.
She was your little angel.
It was insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was
insane. I need a cleaning team to come down and be my angel.
That was the other, that was the other thing that's the hardest part. I said. And we had one friend, and she was also a connection from Lifetime, and she was the one person that said, I will come with a bucket and a sponge, because I was like, somebody has to vacuum at some point, like, and John refuses to vacuum, and Gramercy, forget about it, she's at that point 15 and like could care less, and
teenager.
I'm like, you know, besides starving to death, we're gonna be condemned by that. She was the one that said, I will come with a bucket and a sponge, and I'm like, you know, those are the things, you know, that people don't like. People think of food and flower, like the, you know, food and flowers and cards, and all of that was amazing and the inspirational stuff. But I'm like, sometimes you need somebody to just come clean your toilet for you.
For me, that's like, that's, and it's true. When you get diagnosed with cancer, the troops are there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's there. Giving you beautiful blankets and flowers and bringing you food and books. But once you pass that year mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people get fatigued.
Right.
They're just, nobody's like, I mean, my group went from just, this isn't a real number, but like from 100 to 15.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like, but like, okay, now I see who.
You find out real fast.
My real team is.
That's,
you know?
That's human nature though, because that's true with mental health issues too, because same thing with me. In the beginning, everybody, you know, at the beginning I had 100 people, and you know, by week 6 everybody's like, okay bro, suck it up, and you know, and they just just disappear. Do you find, so you stand in a unique space, do you find yourself getting more spiritual, less spiritual? Do you care about that at all, or is it?
Oh, I totally care about that. I don't, because I've always been kind of spiritual, actually, but I think I'm just. I'm trying to think of the word. I have chemo brain. It's I notice everything. Like, I'm hyper aware.
Okay.
So I'm hyper spiritual. So I'm just aware.
Because I think there is in the space that you have, there is unique wisdom that, because you must see things from a perspective that the rest of us don't. And so what do you see that the rest of us don't?
Well, so even before I was diagnosed with cancer, I had like people that have died talk to me all the time. And I'd be like driving in my car. I'd hear their voices. Now, who knows? Is that real? Is it just your brain, your imagination? I don't even know if it matters. It's, you know, everything is your own reality.
Right.
So I don't really think I'm extra special compared to everybody else. I think I do my best to notice little things. And if you really walk around in life, I'm really into nature, so that helps.
Right.
If you're into the outdoors, mm-hmm. that's like really a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I just notice, like, I notice the mushrooms growing, mm-hmm. the baby foxes now are out. I just pay attention, and I find all that really healing and really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it, and that's how I try to think of it.
Right.
You know, I really do. Like, okay, well, what am I going to be when I come back? Mm-hmm. Like, I do try to think of it like that. Mm-hmm.
So
hopefully something better, and who knows?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm pretty sure you come back just as you. You're fine. So you believe in reincarnation? I do, by the way.
Yes, I believe in reincarnation. I also believe in a higher being.
Okay.
I grew up Christian.
Right.
That was really instilled in me. So I do go to church on occasion because I just like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So whether you're going to meditate, or I have a lot of Buddhist in me as well. So I just try
Welcome
to find
to the party.
I try to find places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where that's like my time.
From your unique space, what's the most valuable thing in life?
Just living.
Mm.
That's it.
That's a good answer.
We're here. Yeah. like just living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like all the little things. I try to tell my son that. I'm like, he's 21. He's just at that age. I've mentioned him before. Yep. He's just so in his own head. But, you know, I don't know that there's really happiness there. I think it's a hard age.
Mm-hmm.
It
and
is
I'm
hard.
Like,
age.
Oh my God, Ethan, like, take a break. Like, go to the beach, go for a hike, like, get out of the gym, like, go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And do it outside.
Right.
You know, just because our whole society now, I mean, we're on our phones, we're on the computers, mm-hmm. we're looking down all the time, we're all starting to get funky necks.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to step away from that.
She said we're getting funky next, and I immediately straightened up.
What's funny is, and this is like so stupid, but so we went on our first college tour the other day. I went to Marist with Gramercy because that's where I went. And it was raining on Wednesday. It was like pouring.
Yep.
So we're walking and she's like, there's all dead worms, mommy. There's dead worms. And I go, stop looking down. Stop looking down at the ground. Look up. Look up at the sky. You're at the Hudson River. We're walking by the Hudson River, and all you notice are the dead worms.
Yeah.
And yes, it's raining, but, you know, there's beauty in that as well. I mean, once you're out in the rain, you're out in the rain, and it is what it is, and you might as well enjoy it. But
right.
I was like, and then she was like, well but then she kind of had me, because then she was like, well, how am I going to know where to walk, because I'm stepping on all the dead worms? Like, all right. But look up, you know, I think that people like that is a real, it's a real thing. Like, our heads are down.
Yes.
90% of the time.
It's so interesting you say it like that, because I'm like flashing back to when I was 24 years old and started skydiving. I used to try to explain to people, like, I started skydiving and, you know, it's a lot of adrenaline, a lot of concentration. You have to be physically fit. There's all these things that come into play, and it's just really a beautiful sport. But I would come up here because I lived in New York City at the time. I'd skydive for the weekend. I'd go back to New York City. And I would walk all the time, literally like this.
Because you were waiting for somebody to fall on you.
My whole world, like we live in a 2D world. Mm-hmm. We look down and we look ahead. Mm-hmm. And my whole world became 3D when I started skydiving. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, there's a whole, it's round. Right. I mean, there's a whole world up there. And
Rogan has a theory about that. Joe Rogan on his point, he has a theory about that. He says that that we're being impacted because we don't see stars anymore. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much light pollution at night that you don't see stars.
Yeah.
And if you can catch yourself on a night when you can go and you can see a sky full of stars, it gives you a perspective that nothing else can. But because we don't see it, because of all the light pollution, we lose that.
Mm-hmm. I star watch all the time.
I'm sure you do.
And you know, sometimes it's scary because then you feel real small.
Right.
Like when you really start thinking about
Yeah.
You're like, wow, there's a lot going on out there.
Yeah.
You know, that we have no idea.
And how could I matter? And
And
where are the aliens really hiding?
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
In the ocean is the answer, by the way.
Right.
The aliens are really hiding in the ocean. The sky's not where
the mermaids.
No, the sky. If you're an alien, you're not going to hang out in the sky when you can get shot down because we can get there. If you're an alien, you're going to be at the bottom of the ocean where we still can't get to, so we can't see you. And if you can build some sort of space.
They let that balloon go. Really, wasn't that balloon from China got all the way halfway across the United States? Got pretty far.
Yeah, but it's a numbers game with the alien. What are plans next? What's the next trip? What are we doing?
I do have a trip planned.
Yeah, fucking A.
Unfortunately, I'm like out of money, so my traveling is slowing down. I'm trying to figure out how I can work it into everything else. But I'm going to Costa Rica the first week.
You should do a GoFundMe.
I know, right? GoFundMe so I can travel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd give to that in a heartbeat.
I'd write about it. Yeah. I'd start a vlog.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Costa Rica the first week of June with 7 girlfriends. So that's going to be super fun.
That's a party.
I'm doing the full-on Jersey Hotel from the 50s.
Nice.
In July.
Mm. We did that.
What is that? What?
Staying at Jersey Shore Hotel.
Oh, Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh,
like one of the old rinky-dink hotels. Okay. It always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to plan a trip. So I'm from California.
Right.
And California is a beautiful state. I don't want to live there, but it's a stunning state. So I'm trying to plan a road trip in California to go to all my old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all the beautiful spots that were part of my childhood, the Redwood Forest, San Francisco, Yosemite, you know, so that. But that trip's going to take some planning. I have a friend that's going to road trip with me because it's a little challenging for me to travel by myself, 100% by myself.
Right. How does your doctor feel about traveling?
He loves it.
Oh, all right.
He thinks it's great.
So if he loves that, maybe he'll let you off this bad drug.
Yeah.
What does he?
If I say to him, listen, I can't. I have to miss that chemo because.
Oh, right. I was going to say you have to because otherwise it's 3 weeks, right? You have a limitation.
Yeah. And, you know, they kind of put their hands up like, okay, well, you're taking the chance, which I'm 100% fine taking.
Yeah, I'm taking the chance.
Like, because for me, I'm like, oh, if I can get a chemo break out of it.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I react so violently when people talk to you like that because I'm like, well, I'm taking a chance when I walk out the front door too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. And I want to do some little trips. Like I have a great nephew now. I'm very close with my nieces. And like she's in Tennessee. So like I want to go down for like 2 weeks hang with the baby.
Right.
Because I'll probably never be a grandma. Realistically. My other niece has 6 horses and she's one of the best horse trainers in the entire world. Like she's amazing. Unfortunately, she just had an accident, but like go down and see her. So kind of some of my travels, not like big travel. Yeah. It's like very down to earth.
But your niece makes my point. Like they say, well, you know, you're taking a chance. would they go to your niece and say, well, you know, when you get on your horse, you're taking a chance. Well, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all are.
Yeah.
Right. Take the chance.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
That makes me crazy.
Yeah. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I also would like to, like, I'm really jonesing to, like, Vietnam.
Oh.
Thailand, like mm-hmm. those places.
Write me. Tell me what it was like.
Right? I really want to go there.
I will
there.
Not be there.
It's supposed to be just incredibly beautiful, mm-hmm. incredible people. But I need to find somebody to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
You want
to
go?
don't do that. She will. She will.
We're not done already, are we?
We're at an hour, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had all these questions. Go, keep going. I'm just so curious. Yeah. As a post-cancer patient, mm-hmm. like, how are you really doing? Like, how has it changed you? Are you doing anything different?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, like I said, it changes your DNA, right? It changes your DNA as a family, but. At the same point, you get back into the monotony of life, right? So I went back to work. So I'm back teaching, you know, being a mom and all that stuff. And the working out is, you know, huge. So I think, you know, physically, like I said, I'm scarred for life. My mouth is never going to be the same. I have to do these jaw exercises, which people are like, wow, jaw, you have to stretch your jaw. Well, it's freaking annoying. Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm supposed to do it 3 times a day and blah, 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 blah. And it's for the rest. You know, I said to my nurse, how long? And she's like, forever, for the rest of your life. So, you know, there's, you know, you're changed forever. But yet on the flip side, you just go to work and you put one foot in front of the other. You know, the other piece of this whole, like, you know, people are like, well, why, you know, go to Fiji, go to do all this. And part of, we're homebodies in one part. But, you know, it takes a lot of money to do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like these people, like, I love like the Eat, Pray, Love woman who like, you know, oh, I just dropped everything and I went
I went
to Italy and I went and I'm like, well, you had a career where you had a bucket of money,
right?
You had that.
Well, people
ability
don't realize,
to
I mean,
do that.
Cancer
so.
Financially,
yeah,
can destroy you,
right?
I totally. Mean, it's. It, I mean, any health crisis.
Oh, I mean, yeah. we were talking about it before, but if we were blessed to have very good health insurance, but forget it. I mean, it's a whole nother. I mean, it's bankruptcy for sure. You know, I mean, it's just. So I think I'm finding my way. I mean, the working out, that whole journey. And I think, you know, I like John posted the other day, like, it's not all running. He posted a picture of me sleeping in the chair, because if I do two classes, you know, if I'm working full time and I do two classes on Saturday and Sunday, like, that's all I can do on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, then I'm, you know, and I'm not like, and then, you know, I'm like, well, people, you should meal prep for the week on Sunday. And it's like, I can't get out of the chair. Like, it's, you know, so my energy, there's still fatigue and energy.
Yeah, it takes a long time to go away.
Yeah. Like, and then there's little things like, and it's just like, you know, I'm sure with your son, like, the effect on the family. And I went to the dentist this week because that's what I do on my vacation. I'm off this week. And I'm like, what do? I go to the dentist. And, you know, something as simple as like my dentist appointment, and like Gramercy's a cool kid, but she's a lot like me where she's tough. She's got a tough exterior. Mm. So, but she, I came back from the dentist and I could see her and she goes, what did Dr. Sang say? And, you know, I think like you were saying about like the scan, I forget what you said it, but scan anxiety or whatever. You know, I mean, she worries now every time, you know, and I worry too. And it's this whole nother layer of, you know, anticipation, and you're waiting, kind of still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I feel bad about, that like me going to the dentist is not like, you know, just a normal thing.
It's a normal, yeah, it's not a normal dentist appointment.
For her, I mean, for me, whatever, I'll go through it. But for her,
when mommy goes to the dentist, it's different scary. Now. So, yeah. But
aw, yeah. She loves you. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part, for the most part, life is great.
Yeah. Well, you look great.
Thank you.
You know, it's awesome. You're making like, I love all the working out yeah. because that's just so good for so many people right. to see cancer yeah. or not, to see that, you know, you did look very frail. I mm-hmm. saw your pictures from before mm-hmm. and you're so like. Yeah. Strong and glowing now. Yeah.
Well, I was saying the other day, I used to look back at those pictures and think how strong I look. Now I look back at them and I'm like, you look like you were going to fall.
I know. Like, right.
It's really yeah. like, you know, you don't realize how bad it is all the time. So, but yeah, to really, like I said, I'm stronger now than I was before. And it's to go from literally not walking to where I am today is just amazing. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. It's so important. So important.
All right, I'm playing us out of here. And what did you guys
have?
We
both have upcoming scans, so.
Oh. I know. Mine say you send me yes. good vibes, prayers, whatever yes. you got. My scans next week, April 10th.
Okay. April 10th. Okay. All right. Yep. April 10th. I should get the show up right away then so people know. Yes, be so ready for April 10th.
And energy.
Yeah. That would be great. Thank you.
When's your
Mine's
scan?
The 20th. 10 days apart.
What do you got to have me back? You've got to come back every month.
I'll come back.
The only reason I lost them, the only reason.
I know, I'm sorry. I got COVID.
Wait, hold on. No, yeah. Listen to this. Public safety alert. New York State emergency management. An earthquake occurred. The earthquake has been felt throughout New York State. Aftershocks may occur. So, there's that.
It wasn't construction.
Yeah.
And can I just say, talk about your event, because anybody that wants to come dance with me.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're all going to be there dancing.
It's the Lifted Project. It's April 21st. There's like a few tickets left, but not a whole bunch. But if you want them, go to homefromyourshow.com/theliftedproject and you can still register for a few. And that's going to be... I'm going to cry. That's going to be so amazing. We're filming it, and seeing you two dance together is going to be... So we're making a documentary of it, and seeing you two dance together is going to be so amazing. That's
can't wait.
That's going to be... I'm not going to be able to look at it, because it'll just mess me up. So we're sending positive energy April 10th.
Yes, please.
And you're coming back in May.
Awesome.
On the show? Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to do your own or you want to co-host? What do you want to do?
I'll do whatever you want.
All right.
I'm game.
Last time a chick said that to me, I wound up having a daughter.
Who I'd love to meet.
Yeah. Oh, next time. She's, of course, calling through me the whole show. Oh,
it's okay.
I'm John.
Oh, she probably Leslie. Got the earthquake real alert.
That's Trish not letting me get off the air. I'm John. That was Leslie. That was Trish. This was beautiful. That was Home From Here.
So, oh my gosh, your studio is awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
And you're every day now.
Wow. 4 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a big jump.